Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Green Energy Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Preeta Majumdar from Standard Chartered Bank. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Adani Green Energy Limited, we welcome you all to the FY23 earnings call. From the company, on the call we have with us today Mr. Vineet Jain, MD and CEO, Mr. Phunsuk Wangyal, CFO, Mr. Anupam Mishra, Group Head Corporate Finance, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, Head Business Development, and Mr. Viral Rawal, Lead Investor Relations. With this, I would like to hand this over to Mr. Phunsuk Wangyal for the presentation, post which the AGEL team will be available for Q&A. Phunsuk, over to you.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for joining Adani Green's Q4 FY23 earnings call. What I will do is I will give a quick update on four elements actually, and then post that maybe we can have a Q&A session. First thing which I will talk about is capacity growth. Now, during the financial year, Adani Green's operational capacity increased to 8.08 GW. What it effectively means is maybe from a PPA capacity perspective, our capacity increased by 2,677 MW. Just a point of attention out here is because during this financial year, we commissioned the largest hybrid cluster in India as well as world. That is 2.14 GW. In terms of actual on-ground capacity, this is maybe 3,384 MW. In terms of DC capacity, if I add over the last financial year, we added 4,246 MW. That is from a capacity growth maybe perspective. During the same financial year, we also signed power purchase agreement for few of our maybe projects, which includes 450 MW of wind project as well as 650 MW of SECI with sovereign counterparty SECI. Second point is operational and financial performance. The last financial year has been a very good from AGEL perspective actually, both operationally as well as financially. In terms of maybe CUF, what I can inform is solar CUF portfolio increased by 90 basis points year-on-year to 24.7. Now, this is largely on account of higher plant and grid availability, better solar irradiance, as well as the seamless integration of SB portfolio for the entire financial year. During the same financial year, our hybrid portfolio also came on ground actually, and it was operational for a part of the year, so this was largely a stabilization phase. Despite that, our hybrid portfolio has a very high CUF of 35.5% actually, and we do believe that now since the plant is fully stabilized for this financial year, hybrid portfolio CUF will be on a higher level. From sale of energy perspective, during this financial year, it increased by 58% to 14,880 million units. This is largely on account of combination of higher capacity which is being like added, as well as the better CUF which we have demonstrated. Revenue from power supply also increased correspondingly to 58.25 crore. During the same financial year, we realized a carbon credit income of 157 crore. Now, from our during the same period, EBITDA also increased to 5,538, along with a very high EBITDA margin of 91.6%. We have been able to consistently maintain the EBITDA margin, which I maybe just talked about. Now, purely from as I spoke actually, a large part of our portfolio, especially the hybrid one, was operational for a partial period. Now, if we look at a run rate EBITDA perspective, actually for 8.08 GW, we will be having a run rate EBITDA nearer to 7,500 crore, which effectively means that in terms of net debt to run rate EBITDA, we should be nearer to 5.4. Okay. That's from operational and financial performance. Now, from a credit profile perspective, as you know, AGEL portfolio has a very high strong counterparty profile actually, with around 86% from sovereign and sovereign counterpart. Even for the balance portfolio, actually, as far as receivable position is concerned, it has been on track. Now, as on date, actually, there is no receivable which is overdue. So from that perspective, what entire 100% portfolio is on track. During the same financial year, in the last quarter, actually, what we also realized is, if you recollect in Q2 or beginning or in our last earning call, we talked about some of the favorable regulatory orders which we have received. Now, during this quarter, during Q4, actually, we also realized the revenue from those favorable orders, which also includes around 748 crore from Kamuti project, actually. Now, this will also have a recurring positive impact of at least 90 to 95 crore for as far as these projects are concerned. Now, last but not the least, a very important element is basically our ESG commitment. As you know, Adani Group has a very robust ESG framework, actually, which is broadly in line and guided by globally accepted ESG principle, as well as some of the ESG disclosure which we have adopted. Now, what it means is, during Q4, actually, some of the notable achievements which we have is Adani Green portfolio, for all its operational portfolio, that is above 200 megawatt, today we are water positive, actually, and we have received third-party certification for that. On the top of it, as we have previously reported, entire AGL operating portfolio is single-use plastic-free and zero waste-to-land certified. We are immensely proud of these achievements which we have received. On the top of it, in the last quarter, we also won the prestigious Platinum Environmental Award at Grow Care India Environment Management Award 2022. Now, all these effectively is reflecting in terms of very high and consistent ESG ratings which we have been receiving, whether it is from CSR Hub Ranking, Sustainalytics, DAGI, S&P Global, or MSCI ESG rating of A. So just to conclude, actually, financial year 23 has been a very satisfactory year, either in terms of operational capacity as well as both financial performance. This would not have been possible without the support which we have received from all stakeholders, and not but the least, the entire team. So that's a small recent update from my side, actually. Now over to you, Preeti.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Kang Cheng from Tan Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is pertaining to FY24's capacity addition. So how much capacity do you expect to add, and what is the associated CapEx? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So FY25, our capacity addition will be broadly in line with what we have achieved in FY23. That is will be nearer to 3 gigawatt. Now, this also includes a part of the capacity which is advanced stage of development, actually, and should be operational either by Q1 or Q2. That is from a capacity augmentation perspective, actually. Secondly, in terms of CapEx, now what it entails is especially for those projects which will be implemented upon. So CapEx, which we are talking about, is around 14,000 crore, actually. This is excluding BCD, which is a change in law.
Can you remind us how much of this CapEx is already pre-funded by committed facilities?
So, as I said, between up to 3 gigawatt is the capacity which we're talking about, and out of which 300 megawatt is about to be commissioned, another 130 megawatt is also pre-funded, should be commissioned. There is another 88 megawatt which is also pre-funded. So this is a capacity which is already pre-funded. Now, as far as balance capacity is concerned, out of which a part of it we have already received at the term sheet, and we are in the process of achieving the financial closure. On the overall basis for the entire portfolio, the balance unfunded which you are referring to, actually by the end of this Q1 or mid of Q2 we should be concluding our financial closure. Although, just to re-emphasize, we are not in a hurry to achieve financial closure, partly from a fact that our entire capital management framework which we have, a large part of it is largely funded through our non-fund based facility. That is $1.1 billion of non-fund based facility which is already in place, which is used to tie up our large capex commitment like solar modules, transformer, trackers, etc.
Thank you. And my final question, can you remind us again, what is the HoldCo's attributable share of OpCo distributions? And what is the latest HoldCo debt?
Yeah, so latest HoldCo debt still remains same. Actually, it's $750 million. I think nothing has changed on that front.
Okay, and I would also assume that the HoldCo's share of OpCo's distribution is still the same at about 16 billion INR.
I think you're referring more from... Yeah, just 1 second. Yeah, so can you just repeat the question actually, Kyori, especially the first part, just to be clear.
Yeah, I wanted to know what is the HoldCo's share of distributions from the OpCos across dividends and payments on intercompany loans.
Yeah, so I think you're referring to free cash flow actually. HoldCo's share. So now that our hybrid portfolio is being fully commissioned actually, so we should be talking about nearly we should be talking around 21 to 22 billion INR. That is what we are talking about. Whole course will be shared.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imtiaz from LGCIB. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two questions. The first one, can you help reconcile your debt repayment chart on page 29 of your presentation?
Mm-hmm.
The maturity debt totals some 380 billion rupees. It's mentioned on the same page, it's only long-term debt, but on another chart, you mentioned long-term debt is 450 billion rupees. So the difference between the 380 and 450 billion?
Just 1 second now.
Yeah.
Basically, we've given only next 10 years repayment. There is repayment even beyond 10 years.
Okay. Right. So, is there any further clarity you can provide beyond 10 years or?
Yeah, if required, I think we can separately share with it because this is nothing but a legal maturity of our existing liability actually. In case if you require, we can separately share it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Second question. This relates to your two US dollar bonds. On the last call and meeting since, we were told that there were specific plans in place to meet the maturities of the two bonds for the HoldCo, that you have a 800 million 3-year facility with global banks, and for the RG issued 24s that you will be doing a private placement. Any further confirmation or clarity you can provide on these two funding sources?
Yeah, so I think we can still, we can again reconfirm that as committed in our last call actually, by the end of this quarter, we will definitely be coming out with a firm takeout plan for both the whole cost $750 million as well as the RG1 bond. As we have mentioned in our last call actually, as far as RG1 bond is being concerned, this will be taken out through a long tenor bond issuance, similar to RG2 type of structure which we have in place now.
And what about the HoldCo bond? Are we still looking at the 800 million three-year facility, or has that changed?
Yeah, so Imtiaz, that is one of the possible avenue actually, since we have not firmed out our entire plan as far as Holdco is concerned. So we are still not able to confirm that to you. But as I said, by the end of this quarter actually, that is by June, we will come out with the firm plan as far as Holdco is concerned, in line with what we have committed in our last call.
Okay, just my last question, just relating to this too, now that we have seen Adani Ports, doing an early tender, would you also consider that if you are able to firm up funding to for these two bonds?
So I think, Intiaz, what I can say is, okay, when we come out with our firm takeout plan, actually, we will definitely shout out exactly in terms of what is our strategy, as well as the nature, instrument, tenor, and the modalities of that.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Love Sharma from Lombard Odia Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have a few questions. So, first one, if you could just highlight how much was the merchant base revenues you had during FY23, and at what kind of tariffs you sold the power. So, if you could just break it down in terms of units sold and tariffs you were able to charge on that. And the second, I think, item was you mentioned on the press release about some one-time revenues, which you recognize about 750 crores on. If you can just share what exactly is this one-time revenue. It seems like related to the LPS scheme, but it'd be good to know the details there. And I think maybe if I can just throw in third question for now, if you could just break down the debt as of March 23 in terms of the project level SPV debt and the holding company debt based on your total debt number. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. As far as merchant is concerned, I think within our fleet for financial year 23, the pure play merchant portfolio is basically 50 megawatt actually. But as far as our infirm revenue is concerned, okay, a nature of infirm revenue by itself means that it is being sold in the grid. Sold in the exchange actually. So from a portfolio perspective, for FY23, 50 megawatt is our merchant portfolio. Infirm revenue is largely being sold on the exchange. So to that extent, okay, you can say that that is also a merchant exposure. So in terms of merchant rate, which you are talking about, okay, on an annual year basis, we realize merchant rate of approximately between 440 to 450. Okay. That's the first Second question, which is about the one-time gain actually. Now, one-time gain is basically a favorable order which we have received in case of our Tamil Nadu Kamuthi project. We had a dispute with Tamil Nadu in terms of, okay, what exactly should be the tariff for it on account of when the COD was declared upon. So that matter has been adjudicated finally in our favor, and we realize the receivable actually. Just for the benefit of everyone, as a matter of prudence and conservatism, we have not recognized these revenues in our preceding year. Now that we have actually received the revenue, so we have recognized it. So this includes 748 crore, and it's a combination of a past dues of approximately 550 crore and balances late payment surcharge on account of that. That's the second part actually. As far as your third question is concerned, I think in the presentation we have given our gross debt number of around gross debt number actually, and out of which if you see, except 750 million USD, which is basically at a Holdco level, and the trade credits, which are these non-fund based facilities which are being issued, every other liability is at OPCO level.
So, Pulsuk, if I could just understand, because from what I had in the standalone balance sheet, there were a lot of trade credit lines, but which were basically incurred at the holding company. But you are classifying that as under construction or project debt.
If you see, actually, our trade credit numbers, we have shown separately. If you see a gross debt in the earning presentation, the debt breakup actually,
right.
If you see a gross debt of 47,424, There include a trade period of 1399 CR.
Got it. Okay. Understand. And but for the holding company, whatever you have shown, I think the breakdown is only 6133 crores, right? 60,000 crores, which is basically the Holdco bond.
Holdco as well as, okay, like if you strictly go by like a legal applicant perspective, yes, 1399 is also at the Holdco level.
At the Holdco level, correct.
Yeah. What happens is, once these LCs get matured actually, at that point of time, those LCs get converted into project finance liability.
Understood. And if I could just come back to the first question I asked about the infirm revenues, can you quantify the revenues you made out of this infirm revenues for FY23?
Yes, it is 1854 CR actually.
1854 CR, got it.
Yes.
And the PPAs on, because now they have been converted to PPAs, right? What would be the tariff on PPAs for these projects?
Yeah, so PPAs on tariff will be between 2.6 to 3 actually. But I think another point which we need to be mindful is infirm revenue is something actually, it is basically a timing mismatch between when I have to legally operationalize my Munaki project compared to actual operationalize of my project. So from that perspective, infirm revenue will continue to be there, but yes, nature and the project which will generate that infirm revenue on a year-on-year basis will vary more.
Understood. Got it. Okay. No, thanks. That's very useful. I'll go back in the queue. I have some more questions, but I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shavat Adani from Arkan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a question on the OPCO financing, I guess. Can you give us a sense of, availability of financing, just, given what's happened over the last two or three months? Is it still easy for you to access financing for under construction projects? Any thought process around, extending out some of the timelines for your completion of the pipeline?
Yes, so I think that is where maybe a good point to recap our capital management philosophy. But before that, I think just to emphasize that from a long term financing perspective, as we have mentioned in our last call, we have a very diversified funding base actually, which is basically a combination of our domestic financial institutions, specialized institutions, domestic banking market. Capital market at domestic level, as well as our construction facility which we have put in place. So from that perspective, we have diversified funding base. But what is more pertinent to emphasize is the entire capital management framework and the non-fund based facility which we have put in, with 1.1 billion USD of non-fund based facility. And as a response to the previous questionnaire, we showed the debt profile actually, where we showed that on March end, actually, our outstanding trade credit was 1,600 CR. So we have these non-fund-based facilities in place. What it effectively does is, for major capital commitment like module, inverter, transformer, as well as trackers, actually, we need to issue open the LCs. We have these limits in place, already committed. What it also gives us is our ability to time the financial closure actually. These LCs can have a maturity up to 365 days. So to that extent, for 365 days, I'm already committed. But from an AGL perspective actually, we also want to be prudent and conservative. So from that perspective, as far as financial closure are concerned, we will be achieving the financial closure within Q1 or latest by, for the entire fleet, by latest by mid of Q2. We have already started receiving, rather for a part of our portfolio, we already have a binding term sheet from domestic market actually in place, which will go through a bit of back and forth in terms of negotiation. In terms of appetite perspective, we don't see any shortfall in appetite. And since we have this non-fund based facility in place, we have the ability to time our financial closure.
Understood. Okay, thanks. So this 1.1 billion facility that you mentioned, does that fall under that 1.64 billion construction facility, the mix of funded and non-funded exposure? Or
no, it's a separate. It's completely separate, actually. This is a commitment, revolving commitment which we have, which is already live actually. A part of which is utilized, 1,399 trade credit which we showed in our earning presentation. Balance is available right now.
Okay, and the $1.64 billion construction facility, what are the terms of that, if you can help share some, in terms of maturity or...
No, that is basically our under the framework agreement which we have and which we have put in place for our hybrid portfolio actually.
Okay. So specifically for that sense. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ambrish Rathi from T. Rowe Price. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. Just want to start with a follow-up question on the previous one. So in terms of rolling over this non-fund baseline into new facility, how much do we essentially need to raise in new facility for the 3 gigawatts per annum?
Yeah, so these non-fund-based facility can have a maximum tenure of 365 days actually. So to that extent, okay, if I open a LC for, let's say, my incremental capacity for module or any of those large capital commitment actually, I have 365 days to achieve the financial closure. But that's not what how we will do. That's a separate matter actually. But we have flexibility till 365 days.
Okay. So you will probably, if I were to kind of think about it, you will need to roll this $1 billion basically per annum into a project finance or an OPCO facility. That's the right way to look at it?
Yes, as and when we utilize it actually. Let's say hypothetically, if I open this entire non-fund based facility for a 365 days, yes, at the end of 365 day, I need to take out this through a project finance facility.
Okay, got it. On the revenue side, there is this $7 billion of one-offs from TN. Can you also tell us what the GBI carbon credit and REC revenue was in FY23?
Yeah, just one second. So carbon credit is 157 CR actually. GBI, let me just tell you. Yeah, so if you say, carbon credit is 157, VGF and CIL is 37, and GBI is 6 CR. So total of 200 crore.
Okay, got it. Final question, if I just look at your consolidated balance sheet, it's got about 22 billion INR of receivables. But I was trying to reconcile that to the page 44. On your presentation, which totals to around 12 billion or thereabouts. So I just wanted to reconcile those two numbers. You mentioned that there are no overdue. So what is the actual receivable number that you should be looking at?
No. Yeah, yeah. So this actually, the number which you are seeing in balance sheet is basically a summation of trade receivables that is under the PPA, as well as some of the equipments which we have purchased actually and sold it to let's say Suzlon or MSPL, NWL for value engineering actually. So that is why that number is coming that way. If you want an exact breakup, power sale is 1206, other than power sale is 1060, and then there are a few other miscellaneous items.
Okay. So 1206 is the actual power sale receivables. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prabhati Gupta from BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. A couple of questions, honestly, follow-ups from the previous one is, one on your these trade credits. So when you say that these non-funded lines are for less than 365 days, which also means that your existing trade credits will fall due very soon. So how are you guys planning to address this?
Yeah, so I think only in the gross debt number, if you see, you will see, right now, my trade credit number is basically outstanding trade credit number is 1399 CR only actually. And if you recollect, I talked about a part of my capacity is likely to be operational in this Q1 and beginning of Q2. This 1399 pertains to those projects only for which commitment is already in place.
Yeah, I'll just add, so basically this 1399 is something which will get converted to project funding as the maturities come in, and for those, since those are the projects which are already under execution, the project funding is already tied up. So
yes,
this is only a timing difference where from an efficiency of capital cost, those are lying as trade credit, otherwise the funding is already tied up.
Yeah.
Once these are paid up, then you have the another one, the full 1.1 available for use in the projects which we have planned. And based on the cash flows, we will decide what trade credit to use, where debt to use, and where the payments to be made out of the equity.
Take out, just to summarize, take out is already in place actually. The financial closure for those projects are already achieved.
Okay. So which means that once you take out this, you will have that another revolver of 1.1 billion.
1.1 billion is anyway available. A part of which, 1399 CR, this is for which is already being utilized actually.
Okay.
Once 1399 is taken out, entire 1.1 billion will be available. That is what I'm saying.
Got it. And what is the cost of funding of these trade credits?
Oh, very competitive actually. Okay, LC issuances could be between 60 to 80 basis points. And then if I discount these, this should not be more than 7.5%. So what it does is it gives me a flexibility in terms of when I need to achieve the financial closure. At the same time, it optimizes my interest cost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So these new facilities with which this will be taken out are also project finance facilities with onshore banks?
Yeah, absolutely. Onshore and offshore, combination of that.
Is it possible to share some sense on what is your current, what will be your potential cost of borrowing on these takeouts?
So I think going forward, it will be market determined. But what I can definitely say is, in Q1, in February and March, we tied up a financing for one of our projects, and then it took disbursement under that. That is at 9.1%.
9.1%. Okay.
So long-term project finance facility, yeah? I'll put it at that one.
Sorry, can you come back, please?
So what I've just to highlight is that facility which I talked about is a 20-year facility at 9.1%. Fixed.
Okay, got it. And looking ahead, how can we expect your cap structure to be? I think a large part of your committed capex or whatever, planned capex for that matter, does not have financial closure. Yes, it is expected to close. But what I'm trying to understand that, are you guys expected to avail or bring in more such non-funded lines at Holdco level to have those 365 days flexible funding and then come up with project finance? How are we expecting the cap structure to look like maybe in the next 12 to 24 months?
So as far as non-fund-based facility is concerned, yes, we have the ability to increase the limit actually. But from our capital management philosophy perspective, we are absolutely clear. We are in an infra business. And these are long gestation with very long-term revenue, 25 years. So what it effectively means is I need to have proper project finance facility in place as early as possible, irrespective of the fact that these non-fund-based facility gives me a competitive advantage in terms of IDC. So sum and substance is, I have the flexibility, but logically I will not try to increase this limit. Rather, will like to have project finance facility as early as possible, even before the expiry of 365 days.
Okay, got it. Last question for me, and this is again on the receivables follow-up. So largely, 40% of your receivables is from something that you mentioned about buying equipment and giving it to Suzlon. Why is Adani Green looking to do this? I mean, what is the business proposition now?
No. I think, okay. Suzlon was one which has happened in the past, actually. Right now, this doesn't include any of them. This includes, for example, okay, NWL. NWL is where from where I will be buying the WTG for one of our projects, actually. So this is what is being put in place, mindful of the fact that, okay, when I do that, I always have payment security in place. So this is not getting highlighted in that. Let me thought of highlighting it. What gives me an advantage is, as you know, from Adani Green perspective, we have got a very efficient project management assurance group, along with the fact that a very intense contractor management, actually. So we have the ability to leverage upon that and get the delta in cost. That is what we are trying to put in place. Rather than leaving the entire project contract management in the scope of my third-party contractor, actually, what I'm trying to do is wherever I have got good relationship, for example, let's say some of these steel suppliers, some of these component suppliers, I am leveraging upon that, actually. I'm bringing down my cost. That is the value addition which we are doing.
So, just again to rehash the point, we at Adani Green secures the supplies and then from various vendors, and those are then used for setting up the projects at SPV levels. So from a trade perspective, Adani Green does secure various supplies. It gives a lot of advances to various vendors. So what you are seeing as advances here, those are advances which have been given to vendors. Now, we do, as Funsuk mentioned, that we do a lot of optimizations where if one of my vendors says that if you want to procure steel on your own, I will reduce my price by a certain percentage, I do that just to reduce my cost. So in some cases, there may be such kind of advances, but these are basically the trade advances which we give to various vendors under the contracts, and those are something which are then used while our projects are implemented. Why it is standing today? Because we have currently close to 500 megawatts of projects which are under implementation. Those once those implementation is over, this will get knocked off again the contract. And we are expecting that within this quarter and at best early next quarter.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bharat from Standard Chartered Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the call. The first question is on your consolidated cash flow statement. I can see on the working capital side, two large inflows. One is current asset inflow of 609 crores and then current liability inflow of 1,277 crores. Can you elaborate on what exactly these are?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So give me a second, actually. I just project that. Can you just repeat the question and refer to which number you are referring to, just to be precise?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the consolidated cash flow statement in the financial statement, and under working capital changes, there is other current asset inflow of 609 crores and other current liability inflow of 1,277 crores. Since these are large inflows, wondering what exactly do they pertain to?
I think, Manika, this is not readily available with me. What I will do is I will just cross-check and then get back to you, if that is fine with you. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And then my second question is, again, going back to this issue about holdco debt. You mentioned the $750 million bond plus the 1,399 crores of facilities. If I add those two up, I think the number is about 7,500 crores. But if I look at the standalone balance sheet, which has been published with the financial statements, the standalone entity has debt of about 13,056 crores. Can you help reconcile these two numbers?
Yeah, so I think okay, what you also need to see is okay, apart from Holdco trade credit, we also have a related party okay, borrowing actually from a promoter entity of 1,400 okay, CR actually. So that also needs to be okay, added in that.
You said 1,400, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between the two numbers is about 5,500. So if 1,400 is related party, what about the rest?
Yeah, I think we are just going to keep checking the number. Okay, what we will do is going to we just check the number and then get back to you. Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anderson Dong from PIMCO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anderson. Thanks very much for the presentation.
Sorry to interrupt you, but your audio is not coming very clearly. May I request you to speak through the handset?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, question on cash flow statement, on the consolidated cash flow statement. So, the CapEx has been reducing from FY22 about 148 billion INR to about 33 billion INR, and why is the CapEx decreased compared to last year?
Yeah, so I think okay, this 3396 okay is basically excluding infirm okay, revenue actually, and plus some other adjustments. So actual okay, CapEx as far as okay, FY23 is concerned is okay, approximately 6,000 crore. As my colleague Raj was also talking about, actually, some of the capacity which we commissioned in last financial year is basically carried over from the preceding year. So from that perspective, you will see that okay, capex increase is not to that extent, but capex number is actually 6,000 crore after adjusting for infirm revenue plus few other adjustments.
Got you. So some capex has already spent in FY23.
Absolutely.
I mean, 22. And could you remind me again what CapEx guidance for FY24?
We just checked the number about on AGL, like a standalone, like a balance sheet actually. That 11,000 CR number which was asked upon, this also includes okay, the ICD okay, which has been given from our group company actually, from our AGL okay, group company to AGL. That is why it is getting reflected. At a console level, it is getting okay, knocked off. This includes 4,000 crore of that. So what you can do is if you have a surplus okay, cash is from a pure okay, entities actually, okay, the better capital management instrument is giving in the form of like ICD. So that has happened at AGL level. So this is that number which is getting reflected. If you want some more details and all about that facility, we can definitely really share it. No issues. Yeah.
And just clarify, is the capital guidance for FY24 is 140 billion INR?
Yes, yes, Malik. Approximately, as I said, around 14,000 Malik CR will be our Malik guidance actually.
The 140 billion, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, 140 billion. 140 billion INR.
Okay. For this 3 gigawatts in FY24, how much of projects have already reached financial closure?
Yeah, so out of this, as I said, this entire capex is for the 2.9 to 3 gigawatt of incremental capacity which I talked about. Out of which, actually, for approximately 500 megawatt, financial closure is already achieved.
rather those are in advanced stage of construction actually and will be operational like soon. Out of that, out of balance actually for a large like solar project as well as for a wind project, we already have the binding term sheet in place like, and which we are in the process of finalizing. The balance are, as I said, like, will be our timelines to achieve like financial closure will be by mid of like Q2. And discussion for which are currently like underway. Although we are not in any pressing hurry to achieve financial closure because of $1.1 billion of non-fund based facility which we have in place.
Okay, gotcha. So 500 megawatts already achieved financial closure and one large solar and wind project has binding term sheet.
And yes, absolutely. One large solar and one large wind project already binding term sheet in place.
And what's the capacity of this one large?
Yeah, so these two, if you add, should be another 600 megawatt.
Gotcha. So about 1.1 gigawatts, either financial closure or binding term sheet.
Absolutely. And for balance, as I said, discussions are underway actually. Since we have not reached a stage where I can say that, we have received binding term sheet and all, we are saying that, our financial closure process is currently underway.
Gotcha. And one last question, just on page slide 28, the gross debt comparison on the left chart. The first chart shows gross debt of 47, but the chart below, if I'm adding the three numbers together, it's about 520 billion. So how to reconcile the two numbers?
No, I think which chart you are referring to, the gross debt number chart is same actually. And the second one is basically the net debt evolution, the right part is.
There's the gross debt at the first chart and also the third chart gross debt breakdown.
Oh, both of them should add up to similar number. Just one second.
If you're adding the gross down breakdown number, that's about 520.
Okay, so it may not have been presented properly, but both the numbers should basically the similar number actually, 47,424.
Nice.
Just one second. Yeah, I think I'm just checking it. Both the numbers are same, 47,424.
Okay. Yeah. But in the chart of gross debt breakdown, the title of gross debt breakdown, there are three numbers, right? One is 45,000, 6,000, and the
our apologies actually in the our apologies actually in the investor presentation I think the pie chart is not correct. Our apologies, we will correct it.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. So the gross debt breakdown chart is wrong.
Yeah, so actually gross debt number is 47,424. That breakdown chart is especially the lower part actually. Yeah, is incorrect.
Okay.
Anderson, do you have any follow-up question?
No, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lewis Sutherland from Weaverton Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. Apologies for repeating myself here, but could you just touch on the refi plans for the 2024 bonds maturing next year at the holdco level and the opco level?
Yeah, so 750 million holdco bond, as our plan to come out with firm takeout arrangement or facility for a holdco bond by the end of Q1 remains on track actually. So we will be coming out with firm takeout financing plan for holdco bond by June end month.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vincent from Pictet Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to touch base a little bit in terms of, you talked about the capacity addition that you would have through next year. Can you give us a sense of what your run rate EBITDA or what kind of run rate EBITDA you're looking at achieving and how that would progress through next year? The other question that I had was you've added some hybrid projects which clearly from an operational standpoint have a higher level of CUF. What can we expect going forward on that format? Should we see the average CUF for the overall portfolio to go up?
Yeah, sure. So for our 8.08 gigawatt of operational capacity right now, so run rate EBITDA which we are talking about is 7,505 CR actually. Now if we add the incremental capacity plan for this financial year, if we add it, then total run rate EBITDA should be around 10,800 approximately.
Sorry, 10,800 you say?
Yeah, 10,800 adding incremental capacity for this financial year. For 8.08 gigawatt, we are talking about 7,505 CR of run rate EBITDA.
Understood. And in terms of the hybrid capacity going forward, how do you see the evolution of that and to what extent does that have an impact in terms of the numbers you just gave me?
So, 3 points there. Yes, in terms of hybrid capacities, we have 2.1 gig out of the 8.1 gig which we have operational. However, the near-term PPAs which we are going to commission, especially this year, would be more solar and wind and not hybrid. However, the sites where we are going, those are good CUF sites where we are generating solar using the bifacial modules and using the trackers. So from a solar CUF perspective, we are expecting a P50 number of 33%. And generally, the wind capacity which we are setting up is also in the high CUF areas of western Gujarat with the newest machine and in the highest CUF areas of the country. So overall, the CUFs will, for the new capacities, will be significantly higher in case of solar than the old capacities. And that is where the portfolio will move towards. New hybrid projects, we are expecting something being commissioned in FY25, not in FY24.
And in terms of, if I may ask, in terms of the wind CUFs that you've seen this year, there was a particular event, but if you were to strip that out, do you have a sense of what a more normalized number would have looked like?
So I think a normalized number should be between 10 to 15% more, I will put it that way, as far as pure play wind is concerned. This year, actually, we had one-off disruption, as we have mentioned in our presentation, as well as broadly wind speed across the India, excluding a lower part of the country were or anyway on a lower side. But on a normalized basis, 10 to 15% is something more which you can easily expect. Now, going forward, as my colleague Raj was talking about, a larger part of our capacity growth will be in the state of Gujarat, actually, and a place where we expect that both solar as well as wind speed will be on a much higher side compared to the portfolio numbers which you would have been seeing right now.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Annie Chen from Bank Invest Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, please.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to understand the background of the construction EPC business a bit more. Where we're saying currently there are 500 megawatt outstanding. Can you elaborate on the, cash outlay dynamics on this part of the business?
500 megawatt.
Is it usually that we say a certain percentage of this construction business then we need to pay first and then we get repaid later on when that part is done, basically?
Please correct us in case we have not understood your question. What I understand is you are saying there are certain trade advances and the LCs or non-fund based which are outstanding for the current project under operation, under execution, and how is the modality in terms of those getting liquidated when the project gets commissioned? Is that the question which is you are asking?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So, see, the renewable projects, when those are in under construction stage, after the land is tied up, takes around 6 to 9 months, and in some cases up to a year. So during those periods, we do open LCs at the holdco level and do the procurement of various equipments. And those are once more or less ready, those are then moved to the final SPVs where the projects are going to be housed. So this 3099 crores as well as the 120 crores, on the receivable side,
yeah,
both will move to the project SPV over the course of next 3 to 4 months as those projects gets finally commissioned. The only point which I'm trying to highlight there is these are just normal, ordinary course trade movements as far as the holdco is concerned. Once the project gets commissioned, those becomes a project funded cash flow because holdco is able to bill those amounts to the SPV where the funding is already tied up as far as those projects are concerned, as explained by Funso. I hope I'm clear.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, perfect, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shreyans Daga from Barclays. Please go ahead. Shreyans, may I request to unmute your line from your side and go with the question, please? Shreyans, if you can hear us, may I request to unmute your line from your side and go with the question, please?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you now.
Yeah, sorry. So in the offering circular for the holdco bond, the aggregate amount of senior debt is capped at $1.7 billion. So can the management please clarify if that is at standalone level? And because at the end of this year, you have around $6 billion in debt and gross debt. So how much of that is senior and how much of that is subordinated? Thanks.
Yeah, Shreyans, that is at a standalone level actually, and you, as you can see, those numbers are already complied with. And on a half yearly basis, we do as part of holdco debt requirement, a compliance certificate is issued actually, which apart from the ratios also gives the latest update on the situation. No issues.
Okay, thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Joseph from Manulife Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the session. I have one quick question. For your slide 48, the latest covenant disclosure is up to September. When will you expect to disclose March 2020?
So I think we closed our numbers yesterday actually. And we will be, and within this month,
although like, as per the requirement, we have till June end actually, but we will try to come out with those compliance certificate by this month in itself for all the three issuances. Yeah.
Okay, by this month. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Preeta Majumdar for closing comments.
On behalf of the AGEL management team, I would like to thank everyone on this call for taking the time out. For any other follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to the AGEL team of Standard Chartered Bank and we'll be very happy to assist. With this, we'll now end the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Preeta and Standard Chartered team for supporting this call. And thank you, Chorus team, for hosting this call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Adani Green Energy Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.